Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 18 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. I am one of your hosts, Jim Biscardi, and as always, I am joined by Megan Peters and Christian Hoffer. Well, not always joined, because Christian took off for a little bit, Megan took off for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, we're Most joined by Megan and Christian.
We each missed one episode. That's it.
Mm-hmm. You've jinxed yourself now, Jim.
That's it. That's
so when you're missing and it's just me and Hoffer running the show, we are going to just have a podcast against Geodude campaign.
Yep, it's just going to be a Geodude bitch fest.
Yep.
If you are new to this show, we talk about a lot of Pokemon stuff. Like a lot. From the games to the gear. We haven't covered bed sheets yet, but I'm sure that'll come up in an episode at some point. If you love Pokemon, this is the show for you. If you like Pokemon a little bit and want to love it more, this is the show for you. Mm-hmm. We break the show down into really three sections. I always say two, but it's three sections. The first half is we do quick news hits for items of the week. And this week we've got some trading card game news, some Pokemon Go news, anime news, a bunch of stuff to cover. And then we go into a deep dive into a bigger discussion after the big break in the middle, and then at the very, very end, Christian Hoffer gives us the fan favorite segment of the week, the Pokemon fact, that is always, it's always a good one. We haven't gotten a bad one yet.
Nope. No pressure, though.
So no pressure.
Yeah, pressure's on.
All right, so before we're going to do that, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
The first thing I want to talk about is we are getting an anime announcement.
Yes.
Which makes me happy, but also makes me a little bit sad. Because obviously, this announcement is going to be for the Sword and Shield.
Well,
right? We assume.
I mean, that's the majority assumption. I mean, the timeline matches up for the anime to at least confirm Sun and Moon is ending. Everyone once the anime season gets into the actual League arc, it's over. You know, they're going to do the League, they're going to finish it. Ash is inevitably going to lose at some point. And then we move on with our lives, and he goes on to a new region because he needs to continue his journey. Currently, the Alolan League is doing some like pre-matches, so like we're starting to like slowly move into that arc, which traditionally is the last one. So it would make sense if we got an announcement that at least Sun and Moon is ending. The question is whether or not they're just going to go ahead and say, "And Sword and Shield's on its way," or not. That's kind of the question.
Do you think we're going to get a new like art style? Kind of like there was a huge departure between X and Y and Sun and Moon. And while I think that's grown on everybody here, do you think we're going to go back to that more standard Sun and Moon style, or that standard like X and Y style? Or do you think we're going to kind of stick with the more happy-go-lucky, kiddish Sun and Moon stuff?
So this kind of like new art style that Sun and Moon has, for anyone who's seen it, Ash looks very different. He's not as sharp looking. There's more, he's got more of a round face and round eyes, and he's more exaggerated. That's a very popular animation style in Japan, and primarily the audience that the Pokemon Company is marketing this anime to right now is the Japanese core demographic and then the Western demographic. So I think we can expect some art style changes. I don't think they're going to go directly back to the nostalgic one that you might be familiar from, like the original series or X and Y. I think they might make it a little bit more serious because a lot of international fans have kind of taken, not necessarily issue, but they've been surprised by it. And I think it's held off a lot of people from watching it because they look at it and they're like, oh, it's just like a kid's cartoon now. It's not serious. But this is also Pokemon. We need to remember. So
I tell you what, the reason I'm sad is because I really like the Sun and Moon series.
The Sun and Moon series is like my favorite series. Like X and Y is usually like peak for a lot of people. And X and Y was an amazing series. It's probably like my third favorite. But Sun and Moon, in the same way, and I'll relate this back to like Dragon Ball Super was an anime that came out in Japan, and it focused on like action from that you would expect from Dragon Ball, but it had like funny moments of like Goku farming. Like that's what I like about Sun and Moon, because it's serious. You get the action of like actual journeying and like battles and stuff like that. But then you also get like Ash going like skinny dipping, but not really, because he's a kid. But
I also love Team Rocket in this show more than I have I have in a while, and so it was really really cool to see. And again, I probably have a bit more attached to it because it's the Pokemon show that my daughter has attached herself to and quote unquote grown up on. I mean, she's only four. But but again, like, I just like when she wants to watch it, I'm like, I'm not like, oh, all right, because I kind of felt that way when I was even trying to get her into some of the older stuff. But this stuff has been great. So
yeah, Sun and Moon definitely, I feel like, has really keyed in on the issue I always took with Pokemon, is that the characters were really flat unless you were Ash. Yeah. But Ash was also really flat. Like Pikachu was more dynamic than Ash was 9 times out of 10. Sun and Moon has really made all of its characters, Ash included, but the rest of its like supporting cast really interesting with like character arcs and their history. And so like it makes me interested in the rivals. It makes me interested in like what's happening, that I'm more invested in this like league arc that's happening, because I'm like, oh, I've grown up more with these. Well, not grown up, I'm like in my 20s, but I feel like I've like seen these characters grow up and like I feel like a proud parent 9 times out of 10. So I'm really hoping that'll get carried over. Or I'm assuming the announcement's just going to be, this is the end date of Sun and Moon, but what's coming next? And they're not going to exactly tell us it's Sword and Shield, but
I will say, from just what we've gotten, you know, about Sword and Shield, as far as, like, the characters and stuff that are involved there, like, I think that could translate well as far as, like, the region and just even, you know, some of the other trainers that we've seen. So hopefully, you know, we get more of that character-driven stuff, but
Team Yell in anime, I just want to see already, because I can just like imagine the dramatic sequencing.
I'm really looking forward to the first time that Pikachu like Dynamaxes into like 500 foot Pokemon, and Ash is just staring in amazement. I don't know. I like the fact that Ash has kind of, he didn't revert at the beginning of Sun and Moon. Like, usually they do these like soft resets, so you know, like Ash is still around, but he kind of like devolves back to his basic form. And they really didn't do too much of that. Like, he was a bit of a goof, but at the same time he was always shown as a very competent trainer. And I like that a lot, and I'm really worried that we're going to go back kind of like the traditional journey style that we've gotten in basically every anime series, say for Sun and Moon, because Galar seems to be set up more traditionally than the Alola region is. And that kind of worries me just a bit. Like, I really don't want to see the Pokemon franchise, the anime, go back to this whole, like, okay, well, Ash is going to travel from this city to the next city, and then to the next city, and then to the next city.
I think one of the things that made it a bit easier to not do that were the Alolan types of some of the classic stuff, where, like, you know, Ash obviously knew what a Vulpix looked like, but when he saw the Alolan Vulpix, or saw some of the Alolan evolutions, he was like, whoa. And I think it kind of like grounded him in a sense where you still got the sense that like he knew, Ash knows what he's talking about when it comes to Pokemon, but at the same time is still being, you know, kind of a fish out of water in the new region with some of the other stuff around him. So
yeah. I mean, I feel like we'll get that with the Galar region. I mean, as soon as James sees the Galarian Weezing, he's going to immediately be like, I want you. And his Weezing is going to be like, it's time to square up. But I do have that same concern as Hoffer. Sun and Moon has started, now that it's like on like Disney XD and stuff like that, it's doing better in the U.S. There's more like exposure to it. But the ratings in Japan have been kind of like hit and miss. The league arc has helped it significantly. So I'm concerned that maybe they'll be like, all right, well, what's different with Sun and Moon? Well, we did this kind of story arc with him. Let's put it back and see how that changes like kind of the reception to it. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm personally a little nervous about, just like the politics of the show. But the other thing that I just keep saying about the Pokemon anime, and this has turned into a long tangent, but is that it really needs to be simulcast like every other anime in the world. The Pokemon company just needs to, like, even Digimon does it. Like, come on, you're gonna let I say this as an avid Digimon fan, please don't come at me, but like, you're gonna let Digimon like beat you to that? Like, you can get a simulcast done. Do a license. Do your own app. You have an app with this stuff. Just simulcast it. And then do your dubs through Disney or whatever. That would help immensely. So,
yeah, it really drives me nuts when I was, like, covering the Pokemon anime more, that I'd have to wake up at, like, 5 a.m. on Thursday to, like, watch the Pokemon episode of the week, like, you know, on some bootleg YouTube channel, because it wouldn't come out for 3 months over in the United States. And by that point in time, like, no one, all the hardcore Pokemon fans, the fans who wanted to know what happened, are what happened. So, I mean, you know, from a strictly news coverage, it's like, you know, give it to us now. It's so much easier to cover it when there's only like a 4-hour delay instead of a 3-hour delay. It's insane.
Yeah. That's the thing with me, is that most people who consume anime now in the West, or in just globally in general, they are used to simulcasting. Mm-hmm. That's just how it works now, and that's why I feel like the Pokemon anime, at least the TV show, not necessarily the films, has suffered the rating drops that they're so concerned about. And I'm like, well, it's because you're not giving it to me the day of. You show it in 3 months on a channel that I might not have access to, because a lot of people cut cable, and I'm one of them. So it's like, I can't watch it. So anyways, Pokemon Company, I know you're listening to me. Do it.
All right, moving on to the trading card game. More Sword and Shield stuff. You're getting Galar boxes.
So these are back in 2016. So there's, speaking of delays between Japan and the West, there's also a 3-month delay for the Pokemon parts. So they basically, over in Japan, they release a lot more sets. And they kind of consolidate those over in when they come out for the U.S. So, like, in Japan, they'll have a Pokemon Sword set and a Pokemon Shield set. Well, the issue is that, you know, that doesn't really help out, like, U.S. retail stores. When kids go in to buy Pokemon Sword and Shield, they also want to buy Pokemon cards featuring some of those Pokemon. So back in 2016, what they did was they released these Alola collection boxes, which contained promo cards, the 3 starter Pokemon, plus a jumbo size card of either Solgaleo or a Lunala. So they're going to do that again, only with Galar. So this will likely be our first chance to see, unofficially, a Pokemon V card. Because it's going to be oversized. It's not like you can exactly play it. But we'll at least get a chance to see that. And it's supposed to kind of like be an easy tie-in. So, like, oh, I see you're buying the Pokemon game. Would you also like to buy this Pokemon Sword and Shield box, even though it contains really no Pokemon Sword and Shield cards?
Is this coming out simultaneously with Sword and Shield, the game, or is it coming out before?
Yeah, no, it comes out November 15th.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, theoretically, or technically, The starters. Oh, no, you won't see the starters' evolutions on those cards because they're not. Mm-mm. It's just the starters.
No.
Never mind.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind.
Yeah, they're just promo foil cards.
Yep.
Yeah.
I remember when I first got into Pokemon cards, I had a import store that was near my house, and I would buy. Like, I remember when the first base set of American cards were coming out. Japan already had like the Team Rocket sets,
yeah,
and things mm-hmm. like that, and I was buying those, thinking I was hot S. And I remember because the Japanese cards, every pack had a foil card in it. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, I'm getting a deal here.
Yeah.
And I would trade them with my friends who were getting all of the American holographic cards that I was not getting mm-hmm. in my pulls. And that's how I ended up with basically all of my base set American holofoil cards was trading like, oh, hey, I've got three of these. Japanese foil cards. They're so cool. Give me your Charizard. And that was how I got it.
I mean, man, not bad.
That's so shady. Like, does 10-year-old you feel any shame whatsoever?
No.
I hustled Pokemon cards.
Have I told you guys the story about what I used to do? I must not have. For a couple summers, when Pokemon cards were hot, my parents would rent a house on Fire Island for a couple of days. Sometimes it was weeks, sometimes a couple of days. And At this point, I had amassed a ton of cards, both Japanese, American, etc. And I had a magazine. I forget what the magazine was, but it was a price guide, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I took a Red Flyer wagon. Set it up basically on a corner of an intersection because there's no cars, no nothing. It's all travel by on Fire Island. It's all travel by bike, travel, you know, or walk or whatever. And I would set up outside of a convenience store, and I would lay out all my cards in my wagon, and people would just come up and would ask how much these are. And at the time, like, price guides were saying, not even a first edition Charizard, like just a regular old Charizard, you could sell it for $125. And so what I would do is I would bring all of the cards that I had. I mean, I would trade, right, too. Or so, like, if kids were like, oh, I want a bunch of these. And, like, at that time, like, Japanese cards looked super cool, and they weren't out yet. And so people, like, were just obsessed with them. And so I would, that's again, like, it's how I got, and it sounds super shady now that I talk about it. I would get a lot of the more high valued American cards, and I would inevitably sell them to grandmothers who wanted to buy Pokemon cards for their kids. And they would walk over to me and they would say, what are the rarest cards? And I would say, oh, it's these over here. And they're like, well, how much are they? And then I would say, well, all that Charizard is $125. And she was like, and I just remember this one conversation where this woman was like, wow, that's a lot of money. And I would say, I'm just going by what it says in the price guide. And so I'm only charging $5 less. And so she would say, oh, well, that's very kind of you to be selling it under market value.
Aww.
And I would come home with just stacks of cash. And my mom would just be like, where the hell did you get this? And that's how I bought my first N64.
I feel like your parents were like secretly concerned you were like passing drugs. Yeah. You were drug mulling it or something.
His parents would, if they would have known what he was up to, like scamming these little old ladies over Pokemon cards.
I mean, I hustled people with Pokemon cards. I didn't sell them, but like how you could like do the TCG. Like, I would always go to my local Toys R Us, like me and my older brother.
Oh, yeah.
We would go and we would do the tournaments. That was like my serious place. Every like 2 days a week, Wednesdays, and I think it was Saturdays. So we'd go and I would do like the juniors. I was little. I was like a little kid at that point. But I played with my older brother. He's like 4 years older than me. And so like, I got pretty good at it. So me and my friends, like on another day of the week, usually with her, I would go to like a comic book store where there'd be older people and they would see kids playing and they'd think it was so cute. So they would think I was really bad. And like, they would put prize cards out that were like really like high value to like that the rules of it, like I could win these cards and I'd be like, oh, I'm so bad. I'm such a bad player. I don't know how I'm good at this.
It's like a Pokemon card shark.
Yeah, so that's how I got all my, like, Pokemon I have a decent amount of like first edition holographic cards because I would be like, I'm so bad at this. And then I would wipe them. And these older guys would be like, oh my God, this like 6-year-old fleeced me. So like, that's what I would do.
All I did as a kid was pay people to beat up like the bullies who beat me up. That's the worst I did. I wasn't running these elaborate Pokemon card scams like you guys. What the hell?
Sorry.
I
still feel really bad because I just went through like the first portion of my Pokemon cards and I found one of the like holographic Blastoises that I fleeced off someone for one of those matches. And I was like, I feel bad. I should find this person and give it back to them. But
I have a first edition Charizard that I still have not got graded because I can't bring myself to send the card off because I know how I got it. I traded a Mew for it. An ancient Mew.
You are a monster.
I have a first edition of like the three holographic like Blastoise Charizard, but I refuse to like, I mainly won't do it because I'm afraid I'll get like lost in the mail.
Yeah, I know. That's why we had the story of getting lost.
I think out of moral obligation, I'm going to have to like stake out both your guys' mailboxes. What, you know, the great Pokemon card theft. So, you know, for the next month, I'm going to try to convince you guys to grade these things, and then I'm going to drive down to Nashville and deal with it.
What you need to do, Hoffer, is get qualified and certified as a Pokemon card grader and then come down here and grade my entire collection, which currently takes up not one, but like two boxes. I have so many cards. I need to do something. You just learned a lot about us.
That was a lovely
tangent. Lord, I can't look you guys in like the metaphorical eyes right now. I can't like look at the screen. I'm just going to look away for the rest of this podcast.
Also in trading card news, tag teams getting support cards, which is a pretty cool thing.
So in the latest set, which they actually, after I wrote the script for this episode, they just announced the U.S. version of it, so it's going to be called Cosmic Eclipse here in the United States. It's going to have some new tag team supporter cards, which feature two trainers from the franchise. So the big one is Red and Blue, the original player character and rival, and these will basically be like overpowered support cards, which a lot of them look great. Like the Red and Blue one is basically, you can pull out a Pokemon GX card out of your deck and use that to evolve one of your Pokemon that's in play. And then if you discard two energy cards from your hand, you can search your deck for two normal energy cards and put them on the Pokemon immediately. So basically, you can instant evolve a Pokemon GX and power it up, you know. So, and, jeez, you know, yeah, it's pretty freaking awesome. So they've announced two of them. The other one is Cynthia and I can't remember her name from the Sinnoh Elite Four. But that one basically allows you to pull a support card that's already been played from your discard pile and put it back into your hand. And also, you can discard a card and draw three cards. So there's multiple effects. I'm pretty sure they haven't announced that, but I'm pretty sure there's also a Megan Jim tag team supporter card, which will allow you just to steal cards.
Good. That's exactly what I wanted.
It would be incredible.
Good.
Good. Moving to Pokemon Go. Something that fans have been waiting for a while. We're getting the Unova Stone for all your Gen 5 evolves that need that.
Mm-hmm.
This will kind of, similar to the Sinnoh Stone, there's, you know, not every evolutionary item's in Pokemon Go, so they're replacing all those evolutionary items with the Sinnoh or with the Unova Stone. So hopefully it's a little bit more common than the Sinnoh Stone. Those things are kind of a pain in the ass to get in the game.
Yeah.
So hopefully these aren't super rare, or otherwise I'll still be trying to evolve these Pokemon here.
Fair. putting a lot of faith in Niantic about these spawn rates.
And then in a bit of a move that no one saw coming, except for me, because I stand this Pokemon. Kingler.
You stand the randomest Pokemon, Jim.
Look, my team, my final team in that first game comprised of Gengar, Dragonite, Gyarados, Kingler, Charizard, and Electabuzz.
Did you just, like, die at the hands of anybody with an electric Pokemon?
Nope.
Like, because, you know, seriously, that team is so vulnerable to electric.
Yes.
Like, Ash and Pikachu could have wiped the floor with you. And, like, back when he was, like, still, like, fighting Misty and couldn't actually win a...
Oh, no, wait. One of those, I think... well, Dragonite I would swap out with Golem. Golem was more of a mainstay. It was the ones I would switch out are either Dragonite or Gyarados. But other than that.
I was shocked. I was like, where's your Geodude?
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute.
I just assumed that, like, 10-year-old Jim knew that Golem was crap.
I feel like Jim of any age has never known that.
All right, so anyway, Kingler, powerhouse in Pokemon Go now.
Yeah, so they gave Kingler a new move, Brav Hammer, which is super baller. So the main, like, advanced stat in Pokemon Go is called damage per second, DPS. And for a while, Kyogre was the number one water-type Pokemon in terms of DPS. Now Kingler is. Kingler, which is super common, like, everyone has, like, 15 Kingler. Is now, like, the lord and master of water type Pokemon in Pokemon Go. It's insane. It's ridiculous. And also hilarious.
Good for you, Kingler.
Yeah. You did it, buddy. You did it.
Last thing I want to touch on before we go to our break. It's a thing that has resurfaced a bit again ever since it was a while ago where we got, like, this big old batch of sprites that were leaked, you know, way back when, for some of the original games, and the one that is just dominating the comic book news charts again, because it got shared again by Dr. What's his face on Twitter,
Dr. Lava,
is Pinsir's evolution.
Horrifying.
Yeah.
Truly horrifying.
Which, well, it's just so interesting because, like, you know, obviously a lot of people were, you know, making the connection to Heracross and things like that. But it is something that, like, it's almost, I don't want to say it's Lovecraftian in a way, but it is.
Oh, just, I was going Lovecraftian. I was going to say that exactly.
Something that, like, Guillermo del Toro would definitely, like, stick in a movie or something. It is definitely a sight to be seen. Christian, I think you know a bit about this one, right?
Yeah. So this was kind of like, you know, a proto Heracross, which they eventually spun off. But the really thing that's, like, creeping people out about it is the fact that it's got, like, the center horn. It's still retained. So it's got, like, the Heracross horn, but it also has the pincer things. But the creepy thing is it's got this, like, weirdo freaking mask, which that's the thing that's freaking everyone out about it, is it, you know, it looks like there's, like, someone's running around in, like, a pincer mech that's about to fight the Power Rangers. I mean, I think that's, like, the best description of
that,
it.
That so. Is.
Yeah. My favorite thing is, like, when you look at the 97 Space World sprite, it's, like, pretty innocuous. You're like, okay, yeah. Like, it's whatever. The problem is, like, after all these have come out, like, most, I mean, the leak came out, like, a couple years ago or a year ago.
Yeah,
the issue is that now there were so many things released, everybody has finally finished their collection of, like, their own artwork of it. So now a lot of artists are sharing their artwork of, like, oh, remember when this happened? Well, I finally finished my drawings of all of the sprites.
A lot of recreation.
Here's what they look like in the anime or in like Sword and Shield. And you see what they've done to it, and it's like, that is legitimately uncomfortable.
I mean, Pinsir is an uncomfortable Pokemon to look at to begin with.
But now it looks like it swallowed somebody. Like, it looks like Han Solo, like, got stuck in a bug.
I'm looking at this, at the sprite art right now, and I've just kind of realized probably the reason it was cut. If this, like, pincer evolution actually used its claws, it would literally kill people. Because the claws only stick out, like, an inch higher up than its giant, like, unicorn horn. So it would grab and then impale people. Like, so basically it would impale somebody and then clench down and crush them to death while they couldn't escape because they
while they're looking at that masked face.
Yeah, I mean, my God. Like, you know, no wonder this thing was cut. Like, you know, that's all I have to say. They definitely toned it down for Heracross because, you know, if this thing would have come out, it would have just ruled kids' nightmares as a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, I love this. I love the Space World betas. I think really interesting to see. I could literally write an article a day about these, like, lost, like, beta Pokemon.
I'm going to challenge you to do that now. That's, congratulations.
That's basically what I've been doing for the last 2 weeks.
I know, like, that's actually what Megan is doing. But I think they're, like, really fascinating. But, yeah, this one, no surprise. Also, look at it. It only has one toe.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other thing. It's got three claws, like, on its arms, but it's got hooves or something. Like, it
means it has to have some weakness. You have to be able to knock it over easily, so you, like, it can't really get up. It's just like waddling.
Yeah, with hope. It's like X-23. Like, you know.
Like, we found the sure. X-23 Pokemon.
There it is.
There you go.
All right. When we get back, we're going to do a deep dive into Pokemon Masters, because by the time this is live, the game will also be live. We'll be right back.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
Okay, so this morning, pre-ordered the game.
Wow. Big.
Congratulations.
It's a You've big joined for you.
Over 5 million people to do so.
I can't quite say he's an early adopter, but I can say congrats.
So does this mean that when I wake up tomorrow morning, the game will be on my phone?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
As soon as it's pushed live to the store, it'll start pushing live to your phone.
All right.
I'm really excited about this game, to be honest.
You have been, I would say, the highest of maybe the three of us on.
I'm definitely the lowest, and I gladly admit it.
I don't know if I'm... I don't know, I wouldn't say you're the lowest. I still...
I'm pretty not interested at this point.
Oh, really?
I mean, I'm feeling pretty about it.
What are you playing instead?
Pokemon Go. I'm going to the aquarium this weekend, and I'm already planning. I've already looked up where all the gyms are around the city. It's going to be great. Anyways, we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about Pokemon Masters, Hoffer. Why are you so excited?
Yeah. No, please tell me why you don't want to play Pokemon Masters.
I just, all of the gameplay I've seen of it, the video footage, I'm just not interested in. And the story, they've like announced the first event, which Hoffer is going to talk about. I'm just not like super crazy about it. I just think it's gonna I also have a terrible thing of, unless the game is Harvest Moon or like something like that, I'm not super like super excited. I'm always really weary, and then like 10 minutes into playing the game I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever, and then I play it for like ever. So I think that's just also my personality trait, but there's just not been enough like released I feel about Pokemon Masters that I'm super excited about.
My main issue with Pokemon Masters is that, you know, I took a look at, like, what, I don't know if it's what they think, or, you know, this game's been out in pre-release out in Canada for months. So, like, anyone who has an Android phone has been playing the game, because once, you know, you can just download the APK. And so they've done a pretty good job of mining it, and there's 60 sync pairs that you can get initially. And I was, like, thinking to myself, that is not very many in the grand scheme of things. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of makes me worried that they're going to either make it pretty hard to obtain new sync pairs, which is not really the point of a gacha game. I'm kind of worried about that. That's my big worry about this game, is that it's either going to be super hard to get the characters that you actually want and can actually make an impact in the game, or they better release a crap ton of like new stuff, like basically a pub game. I play some games. I play them, you know, my free time. And I like the company that's making this, DENA, or I trust them. So I think the gameplay is going to be good. But I'm worried that they're not going to be able to hold my interest long term, because, you know, in order to keep going, you have to get stuff, new content out of this game.
That was one of the biggest things with Pokemon Go when it first started, right? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, it lasted a bit longer, mainly because they were more available, but because there wasn't enough stuff added when everyone played the game like crazy, that people were just like, I'm done here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now it's only like, you know, a tops, you know, income producing game instead of a global phenomenon. Right. Which, you know, I'm sure Niantic is just crying into Phil's money about that.
Well, I'm sure if they're looking at like, well, if they had the user base that they had when they started, making the money that they're making now, we'd be a lot happier.
We'd literally be living in the United States of Niantic right now. That was they would have made so much money, they would just like straight up bought the company. They could have bought Greenland. As,
you know, but I'm just gonna say, like, yeah, I did suffer from that, like, Pogo thing. I think that's the thing that will also interest me about Pokemon Master, is how, from the offset, how well-kept and well-maintained they keep the game with, like, keeping users updated and keeping the game updated with new content. Because, like, Pokemon Go played it really heavily, and then, like, nothing would ever show up. Like, I got tired of walking around random neighborhoods trying to, like, not look like a creep but also catch Pokemon, and they never ever spawned where I lived in my apartment complex at the time. And I was like, all right, well, guess I'm just shelving this game for a little bit. And then I kind of got back in it once they were like, wait, come back. But that's the thing I'm interested to see. Yeah.
The thing for me, like, I know, like, just the type of gamer I am, if it is going to be too hard for me to get things, then I will just be like, all right, I'm out.
Especially from the outset.
Yeah, I mean, so Nintendo has done a pretty good job of scaling these sort of games. I mean, the Dr. Mario game was pretty terrible, but I think they kind of knew it was going to be pretty terrible from the outset, so they gave up on it really quickly. But like Nintendo's other mobile games have not been really like, you need to spend a ton of money in order to like enjoy this. And so I'm cautiously optimistic that that won't be the case with Pokemon Masters. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not quite the same because it's the Pokemon company versus Nintendo, so Nintendo's only a part owner. But, and Pokemon company has had like a little bit different monetization scheme. So I got a feeling that this is going to be like one of those things where you just kind of like run out of energy or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then have
to. I love that you called it a scheme.
It's definitely a scheme.
I mean, Jim, if you are not, if you're free to play, if you don't pay to enjoy these apps, then you are you are the content. Yeah. You know, that's how all these games are. It's like either you pay, you know, to play, or you are being sold.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. And so what is the first event?
The first event involves Blue and his Pidgeot, or Pidgeot, so it's a story event. So the interesting thing about how they're doing these events is, instead of like, okay, if you get through this event, you'll get Blue, that won't be the case. However, you can play alongside Blue for the story event, so you can like get a taste of what Blue can do, and then if you like that, you can then go and attempt to get it through what they call the Sync Pair Scout, which is kind of like their gacha pool. So so you can attempt to pull Blue and add him to your team. So we don't know too much. We know that it's got that Misty's involved, Flannery's involved, and I think like the bad guy is going to be for now.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll see. This will be an interesting time. I'm hoping selfishly that this takes off, mainly because it gives me something to write about. you know, so yeah, everyone play it and then Google how to play it.
Get Blue, guaranteed. Mm-hmm. Answer, pay for it.
That's fine. I'll never forget, and I bring this up to Christian every time we talk about this, but I pitched him the idea I'm writing for Pokemon Go, how to get more Pokeballs. And Christian was like, Jim, you just go to a Pokestop and you spin. And I was like, okay, but put those into words. And it was like the top story every time we wrote it.
I'm at least glad that back in 2016 when I wrote that article, our word counts per article were much lower than they are
today. Yeah, that is true.
I had to like turn that into a 400 word article. Like, I'd probably have to get into like technical details of what is a Pokeball.
Oh, 900. You'd have to describe what it looks like.
Yeah.
What is a Pokeball? It's blue and red. It opens. Yeah. There is light.
Sure. All right. Well, so Pokemon Masters. We'll probably talk more about it next week when all of us have had a chance to play it.
Mm-hmm.
If Megan even bothers to play it.
Oh, I'll bother. Just will it.
Yeah, next week she's going to come up, show up like in a Pokemon Master shirt.
Oh, 900. I know. That's what's going to happen. It happens to me every time. So
we'll be playing while the podcast is going. You know, I guarantee.
We're going to have to do a live play one of these days. So.
All right. Now let's get to Pokemon Fact of the Week. Christian, what do you got for us?
Okay, this is another one which is deceptively horrifying. So Zatu, that is the Gen 2 psychic flying type Pokemon, looks like the top of a totem pole, is a pretty odd Pokemon for a lot of reasons. But in the Pokedex, it notes that it stands still all day. And there is a really strange reason why. You guys want to take a guess?
It's paralyzed.
Yeah, so
I don't know.
I always kind of thought it was because it was so totem-ish. I thought it was kind of like a gargoyle at some point, but so like it like turned to stone. But that's probably not even close.
No. Stop with your stone Pokemon thing, Jim. no. Actually, the reason why is so Zatu can simultaneously look into the past and look into the future at the same time. So when it's standing still, it's theorized that it is paralyzed with horror of all the terrible things that's about to happen, that it can do nothing to stop. And like when you read the Pokedex entry, like a lot of them are just like, oh yeah, you know, it just stands still because it's looking into the future. And one's like, no, it is freaked out because we're about to enter a hell state and Zatu can't do anything to stop it. And it's like, what are you doing, Pokemon? Like, come on. Just give us this. Like, it'd be cool. Just like, no, I'm just gonna look into the future. Oh my god, look at all the terrible things. I'm literally paralyzed by fright. Like, that's just unnecessary. I
love that there is a Pokemon that is burdened with that amount of just horrifying nature. That
he's the true millennial Pokemon.
Sorry, Swabble. It's Zatu.
Yeah, that's definitely Zatu. We just freeze. Oh. Poor bird. Oh,
poor thing.
Yeah, I know. Like, I feel so bad for it. Or maybe it's like standing still because it knows it's about to get caught.
Is that too in the anime?
He's shown up a couple times, yeah.
Yeah, he's shown up. In the anime, the weird thing about it is instead of talking, it communicates by moving its wings like the flags.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, yeah. It looks hilarious. Just, it's kind of like he's trying to do like a robot or something. But it's like this little... Well, it's probably because I don't know. Imagine him trying to like sign to you what's about to happen in the future. It's just like furious flapping.
Zatu's just been trying to warn us the entire time. And we just had no idea.
Oh man, that's just upsetting.
Like, look at the little dance it's doing. Was that look out behind me? And then you just get.
Oh.
Oh man. All right. Before we wrap up, I want to read some reviews. Now, I can't remember if I... Oh, no, wait, we did read that one. Okay, so we only have one. Well, we only have one to read, but it is a good one. So if you want a chance to win a free comicbook.com t-shirt, if you leave us a five-star review on iTunes and we read it on the air, all you got to do is email me at editor@JimViscardi, and we will send it out to you. We love reading these reviews. They're a lot of fun. And it just goes to show that more and more people are coming to the show, which we love, and that they're enjoying it. So this one is from Bulbasaur123, headlined, "Great podcast. Great podcast. I love how this podcast covers everything about Pokemon. I stumbled upon this podcast by reading one of the comicbook.com articles. Every Thursday, I open up my Pokedex and listen to the podcast. Oh, yeah. Also, bonus Pokefact from me. Did you know that Bulbasaur is the best Pokemon of all time because it has the highest win-draw ratio of Ash's team and the highest ranked Gen 1 Pokemon in VCG19, the Sun Season? Also, to Megan, I don't think that a Leaf or Ghost-type Eevee, I can't imagine that, that's horrible, would be a great idea. I want a Flying or a Steel-type Eevee. Now, I better get a t-shirt before Hoffer does."
Oh, come on!
Wow. You know, this interview went great until the back half. Then you just started insulting everyone. So while I'm glad that you still listen every week and you can continue listening, I will just politely disagree with your understanding of Eevee.
That was the
Leave best. It to the professionals here.
Because it totally pandered to Hoffer for a second and then immediately threw Hoffer right in front of the bus.
It didn't even try to pander to me, so.
Great. Hey, guess what, buddy? I'm about to get that free t-shirt before you do. Suck it.
God. Thank you, Bulbasaur123. If you, again, want to leave a review, by all means, you can come at any one of us. It's no problem. I mean, come at Hoffer. It's really the easiest.
No one's come at Jim yet. Come at Jim. No, come at Jim and GOD.
Because Jim has got great opinions. Jim loves Kingler. Jim loves Golem. Jim is a hustler.
Jim steals money from, like, old ladies, scams them with Pokemon scams. You're like the you predate robocalls. Like, you know, like,
on that note, again, we will see you guys same time, same place next Thursday for another episode of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared. You can find me on Twitter at Jim Viscardi.
I'm on Twitter at Megan Peters CB.
And I am C Hoffer C Bus.
Thanks again, guys, and we'll catch you next time.